in that respect. You got the lights coming on. What does it mean then? You ever heard somebody use that term flippantly? Yeah, we churched them. I want to talk a little bit about how the process of church discipline and what it is, okay? Because I've seen people go to the far, far extreme with it, and they do more harm than they do good. But then we're in a day and time today to where it's almost unheard of anymore. I begin to think about something, and I've got a note, and it goes right along with this. Of course, I got all these notepads everywhere with notes on them. But the question, and you think about this as we read this, is what are you doing in Jesus' name? Think about that. Let's read in Matthew chapter 18, in verse number 15 through 17. This is kind of the text verse, and we want to talk about this. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and as a publican." Now, if we look at that, it's talking about a process. And you know, sometimes people in church get offended at one another. Sometimes people do wrong things. But have you ever noticed how when the kids are out on the playground and sometimes they get to bickering and fighting? And they fight, it's my turn, he took the ball. I hear it, he threw the ball at me. And I've heard this since we've been here, he threw that at my face. Okay? And you watch them, and all of a sudden, my kids come to me, I said, don't come complain to me. Get back out there. Now, I'm one of those parents that's like this. This is where I'm at. I'm on this extreme. My kids don't need to complain to me about the teacher. Mm-mm. They don't need to complain to me about the coach. Mm-mm. They don't need to complain to me about somebody else. I tell them, you take responsibility for your actions. If you don't like the teacher, you learn what the teacher needs from you, and you do what you're supposed to do, period. Are all teachers good? Nope. Some of them are great, though, okay? What about the coach? Well, he didn't let me play. He didn't let me have enough time. Well, how much you practicing? How much time you giving it? How much you doing at home? Are you doing like you're supposed to do? Well, you know, old so-and-so said so-and-so to me. What did you do? What did you do about it? See, we're responsible. People do me wrong. People do you wrong. And I have to decide how I am going to respond. Now, here's the thing with the kids in the playground. Let's go back to that. I've seen kids about this big. They come running in and they're whining, and their mothers go out and make such a scene that it becomes an adult thing. And the adults then, they get at odds with one another. And before you know it, the adults are over here not speaking. It's 3 weeks later. The kids are on the playground playing, and they done forgot about it. Okay? Well, here's the problem. Some people just hadn't grown up. And because they hadn't grown up or they hadn't matured spiritually, you know what? Even in church, you got times when you have to say, all right, come here. Come here. Let's talk about this. Now that's kind of taking it to the next step. But here's the first step. Have you ever offended anybody and you know you might not even meant to, but it bothers you? It's down inside of you. It's in your heart. And you go to them and you say, I just want to tell you, It's just on my heart. It's on my mind. And you, I don't care if you say it like this. If you're sincere, it's not, well, if I offended you, I'm sorry. Okay? No, it's not like that. It's like this. If I offended you, I'm sorry. Because it bothers me. Can I tell you, it bothers me if I think I've offended someone. It does. Now, that's different if I'm preaching and I'm obeying God and I'm doing it in love and God pricks somebody's heart. But if I say something in myself and I'm out of line or I misunderstood, or it bothers me. So one-on-one, let's just say we don't always agree, and we're not going to, are we? So one-on-one, we come together. You ever offered an apology and somebody said, I don't care if you apologize, I am not accepting it. That happens. What about when it's one-on-one and somebody's done anything wrong? Now, we're talking about church discipline. Has anybody here ever been involved in church discipline? Some of you. You ever seen with, y'all remember the term withdraw fellowship? Have you ever seen that? Okay. I've seen it once. And I was a kid, but I remember it vividly. Okay. Have you ever been in a situation, let's just say we're here at Hiram First Baptist Church, and we got a contractor in the church, and he's going around to the widows and he's doing jobs. And as he's doing these jobs, he's taking a big down payment and he's delivering a little bit of material, but he's never finishing the jobs. That's wrong. Somebody could be doing something wrong. Well, one-on-one, a deacon or a pastor might go to him and say, hey, here's the report. It doesn't change. Step two, the things continue, whether it's offended and whatever, you go to them in the sight of two or three witnesses. In other words, you go to them and you carry a witness with you. Can I tell you, there are times that I've talked to people that I want a witness present. Recently, I had somebody walking up to me, and Brother Tommy was over. I said, Tommy, come here. Get right here. I don't want to hear or speak a word till you're standing right here. We need to know when those times are, okay? But step two is in the mouth of two or three witnesses. What about step three? This is where it really gets serious. It's when you got a problem and you've went to them and they won't receive it. You've went through them with witnesses and they won't receive it. And then you bring it before the church. Well, how do you do that? Folks, I can remember growing up in conference to where an article in the conference was, and I can remember this in the church I grew up in. This is the question. Is there anyone here that feels like they owe anyone any acknowledgments? You remember that? And I can remember that down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church. It was in the articles of conference. And I have seen people stand up and say, I just want to tell y'all I'm sorry. It's an apology to the church. I apologize for the fact that I was, and they give something they've done. And it's not about details. But it's about the fact that they respected God's house and God's people enough. Now, I heard my dad say to me, and he said, you know, when I was growing up, he said, we respected the house of God whether we went or not. Amen. There wasn't any getting out here and cutting donuts in the parking lot. You know how they tore our parking lot up? He said, there wasn't any pulling up and drinking beer and throwing the cans out in the churchyard. He said, you didn't do that. Okay? They had respect for the things of God. Now, here's where you come to the point, step four. What if you bring it before the church and you bring it up in conference and you say, well, let's report it and we've got witnesses and here's the problem. And you bring it before the church and a person stands up and rather than repenting, and this is recorded, obviously, there's a story in the book of Corinthians, they get angry. And the scripture says to count him as a heathen man if he will not hear. Now, folks, that's the process. Now, here, you go to them, and I've had to. I've had to do it at work. You know, I mean, I'm passionate about what I do at work, and I've had to learn to get that passion in the right place. Because if I get out of line, it bothers me. When somebody has to come and question me, I'm really convicted by then. Because I ought to know better. Unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required. That's true. Okay? So that's the process. But what's the purpose of church discipline or of these steps that we're talking about? Well, here's what I want us to understand. The whole purpose, and this is something we've got to get a hold of, is to restore or to lift someone up, period. It's never to put anybody down. It's never to point anybody's wrong out. It is to restore a person to a right relationship with God. And most importantly, to get that person into the place that God can work the way he's supposed to in their life. That's our heart's desire, and it should be our desire. And I want to give you some scriptures that I've got written down here. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 14 and 15. And I've got several of them here in a couple of different places. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing that of whom thou hast learned them, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." You know, we take the word and we present it to people because of what the power of the word is in our lives, okay? Galatians chapter 6, and this is the one that's very common to us, and you'll know it when I read it, but it talks about if a brother be overtaken in a fault, we which are spiritual, or ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Well, what is that? Has anybody ever seen anybody approach the wrong way? You can hurt somebody, can't you? That's why I think anytime, and I've heard people say this, we need to tell them. What does that mean? If we're going to tell them, we won't tell them because we love them. We won't tell them in an humble fashion, and we want to tell them because we want to help them. We were up there last night, and Roger was preaching out of the 4th chapter of Daniel about where Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, and his kingdom was taken from him, and he became, for 7 years, like a wolf. The disease is called lycanthropy, which where a man imagines himself to be a wolf, but when he was preaching this message, he was just absolutely as direct as I've ever seen anyone be with young people. Well, folks, I think that's the way it needs to be, okay? You got kids nowadays that are walking around with a computer in their hand. They've got social media, they've got chat rooms, and they've got all the things in the world right immediately at their disposal. What they're not getting is enough of the Lord, okay? He approached them direct, and he hit them head on, and he challenged them. And we got out of there, and I was talking to some of the adults. But one thing we all believed, and this was and you could see this in the way that he preached. It doesn't matter how direct he challenged them, they knew that he loved them. And when you go to someone and you're approaching them, I believe that's what this scripture is teaching us, they're going to know whether or not you love them. And that's why sometimes people can be turned away. Folks, we all have things in our life that need attention. All of us. And we're all growing, and as long as we're on this earth, we're going to continue to grow. In other words, I'm going to continue to have the hand of God working on me as long as I'm alive. I'll never graduate. I'll never know it all. I'll never be everything. Paul spoke about that himself. He knew while he was at home in this body, he was not going to be everything he would be when he was with the Lord. He said, when you see them, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Then it said, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We need to know ourselves. We need to understand two things about that. We need to be cautious when we're dealing with people, but we also need to understand that we're not above it. You ever heard anybody, they talk about somebody's wrong and they say, well, I would never be caught doing that. What really gets me is when people say this, my kids don't do that. I had one hit me out here in the grass since I've been here, and this is one of those times, you know, you seek God's help immediately. Woman looked at me and she said, and I don't know what Luke was doing, but she said, my kids don't do that. I just went, my tongue got some marks in it right there. Wasn't long, I seen her kids doing the exact same thing. Kids are kids. My kids, your kids. You ever said, I would never do that? How do you know? I tell you what I am. I like what Paul said. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Where would I be without his grace? Where would you be without his grace? He said, consider yourself. And then he said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, we can show Christ to people. Well, what did Christ do for us? While we were in our worst state, Christ died for us. So if we're going to go and address someone and the wrong that's in their life, and folks, let's just be honest. Sometimes we got to. Sometimes we got to. You know, if you're working in Celebrate Recovery Ministry, or you're working in, as an altar worker, or you're working in a Sunday school class, or you're dealing with people on a regular basis, you're going to have people come to you, and they're going to tell you some things. And if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, the Lord told Jeremiah, he said, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. And my wife and I have had this conversation. There are times the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and you got to be attentive, and you got to be discerning, and you got to listen. You say, "Well, I don't want to offend anybody." Have any of you ever heard the term "loving them to death"? How do you love somebody to death? You just never tell them the truth. That's how you do it. See, sometimes people need to be told the truth, and the truth might bite. But the Bible does say faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I believe that's where this pulls together. So if we fulfill the law of Christ, what did Christ do for us? He loved us, but he told us the truth. And that's very important. It says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. You know, the song that we play sometimes, everybody's going through something, might as well go through something with him. Every man shall bear his own burden. You ever, I've heard the guy told the story of a cross. If we look at our life as a burden and bearing the cross, you ever felt like your cross was too heavy? Too much. God, I wish I could trade my cross in for another cross. Guy told the story and he said he imagined going up to the Lord and he said, well, all right, just go in that room right there. Just put yours down and get another one. He said, I went in and I looked and I looked and I looked. He said, and I came back to the cross that I had because it was smaller than all the others. You know, the thing that is very important is not to lay our cross down, but to carry our cross with the Lord walking with us. Face the day the way that God wants us to. See, we're going to bear our own burdens. And then it says, let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, if we look at the purpose, the whole purpose, why do we have church discipline? Why do we approach? Why, let's just say we have a problem. You know, I don't like problems in church. Let me tell you the worst thing you can do when you have a problem in church. Ignore it. Okay? Because if you ignore it, it'll get out of control. Sometimes they do, brother. You know why they do? They don't want they don't want conflict. Nobody does. But when you have a problem and you don't deal with it, then it gets bigger. And it gets bigger. And then by the time sometimes you do deal with it, it's rather than just being a brush fire, it's a forest fire. Now here's the first scripture, and you can reference this back, and I'll give you a thought in just a minute about the Old Testament. But it says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, or help him, or change him," and this could be somebody that's gotten in trouble, somebody that's in a place they shouldn't be, and you pull them back. It says, "Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Now, if you really get deep into Celebrate Recovery, one thing that's part of it is an accountability partner. I think everybody needs that. The problem with it is getting someone you trust enough to surrender it to. That's a real issue. Okay? Now, the Bible says confess your faults one to another. I want to caution you to be careful about that. I had a guy tell me, he said, "I want to get up in front of the church on Sunday morning." He said, "I just want to tell them what I've done." I said, I said, "What you don't realize is although God's changed you, although God saved you," I said, "you get up and talking the way I think you're going to talk, some of these mothers in this church are going to attack you before you get done." Okay? We got to use some discretion. But what is an accountability partner? That's when Brother Tommy, Brother Ken, Brother Rick, as elders in this church, I'm the pastor, doesn't make me perfect. Y'all see something in me that's out of line, you come to me and you talk to me and you say, "Brother Joe, we see this and we just want to make sure that you see what we see." Now, I don't want that to happen. But if I get out of line, it's your responsibility to do that. Too many times that doesn't happen, and you end up in a church where you have a dictator rather than a pastor. You can't have that. This is God's. Now, what about somebody that's in trouble? What about, and it happens, we used to use the term backslide. Y'all remember that? What about somebody who's backslid on God? Okay? They're out in sin. They're doing wrong. Sometimes I think people think, that's the pastor's fault. I heard a pastor, he was preaching at a meeting down in South Georgia, and it was a week-long meeting. He said he was down at the grocery store, and he said, "I had a guy come up to me right in front of everybody." And he said, hollering out, he said, "I saw one of your members down at so-and-so," and he told him the place they was at. And he said, "and he was going off on somebody, and that's one of your members." What's a pastor supposed to do? I tell you what I'm going to say, "Tommy Ken, get him." No. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray for him. Okay? We're going to pray for him. But what if you get a chance to talk to that person? Here's what it says. When you convert a sinner from the error of his way, you save a soul from death, you hide a multitude of sins. In the Old Testament, there's the story, and I've mentioned this to you before, where Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their father, after they landed, after the flood, just three sons and dad, eight souls. He plants a vineyard. He makes wine from the vineyard. He drinks the wine until he is drunken and he is naked in his tent. This is the spiritual leader of all eight. And his son, Ham, goes in and looks upon him. And he comes out and he tells his brothers. Now here's the opposite of these two things, okay? The words in Hebrew are reah and nagad, and here's what it means. It means to look with pleasure and to tell with delight. So Ham goes in and he looks with pleasure and he laughs and says, aha. That man that preached to us, that man that supposedly taught us, that man that made us build this ark, look at him. And he goes and he tells his brothers. Here's what the brothers do. They go in to where their father is, and they take a blanket, and they put it on their arms, and they walk backwards, and they cover him without even looking upon him out of respect for him. Now, folks, here's the thing to understand. There are no perfect people. But how you and I treat someone when they do wrong, it says a lot about us. Who am I? You know, one thing I'll say about a man, if he's truly called to preach by God and he's saved, you don't have to worry. God's going to get him. God's going to deal with him, okay? It may not be in your time, but I wouldn't. I fear the Lord, okay? See, it says he will hide a multitude of sins and save a soul from death. Let's go to another place in James. This is chapter 2. Excuse me, in verse number 8 through verse number 13. It says this, it says, and this kind of, you know, some people say, well, you know, this sin's bigger than that sin. Well, let's see what the scripture says. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. And are convinced of the law as transgressors. Well, there's different ways to have respect to persons. If I'm going to point out the sin in one person's life, I got to do it in everybody's. There's been a few times that people go to say something, and it's almost like this: I don't want to hear it. We got to be careful, because if you're going to bring it up about this one, you got to bring it up about this one. Okay. In other words, we're going to make a point of that. We got to make a point of this. I got to be careful about that. If you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of sin of the law. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. If you commit no adultery, but if you kill, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Now, consider the practice. And I thought about this, and I want you to just think about it. What are you doing in Jesus' name? How many of you are familiar with what's known as the Salem witch trials? Has anybody here ever studied that? What was that? Hanging them, burning them at the stake. Drowning them. What was it? I've watched a film on it one time. I guess they so much to study, I can't study it all. What about the Crusades? Have you ever heard anybody, you know, talk about how cruel Christianity was during the Crusades? Okay? That's why sometimes if you're a Christian and you're trying to reach educated people, they're going to bring your stuff up. Okay? We study the Word of God, and here's the thing about going to church. You're going to run into people that ain't right. But it ain't about them, it's about God. Okay? And we got to be careful, because we can get offended. I've been offended in church. All of you have, okay? If you haven't, you probably will be. At some point, I don't want you to be. And in fact, I've talked to people about if I just knew everybody in this county that had went at one time faithfully to the house of God and served God, and now because of some issue. And here's the thing. Sometimes people get offended over nothing. Okay, let's just be honest. But sometimes people get really hurt over big issues. Okay? But if we're going to do something, and we're going to do something to try to correct someone, why do we do it? Because we love them. And if you do it for any other reason, you're wrong. Period. You're wrong. You say, well, what they're doing is wrong. Well, what you're doing is probably wrong too. See, if I'm going to compare myself to someone, I'm not going to compare it to people. I'm going to compare it to the Lord. Because I'm not comparable to Him. And I may not do what that one does or what that one does, but they may not do what I do. And I'm saved, and I want to be more like the Lord. And in something that's on my heart and my mind is I desire to be more like God when I'm absolutely quiet and alone than I am when I'm in your presence on church Sunday morning. You see, some people, they come in here on Sunday morning and it's church day. It's church time. But I tell you, when you get close to God, it's when you get to the point that you spend time with God. And I've got to the point that God is talking to me a lot. And it's taking up a lot of my time. What do I mean by that? I'm just listening. And I've learned when I listen, He speaks. And when He does, it helps me. And it helps me be what He wants me to be. Because as long as I'm on this earth, we're still growing, right? You haven't graduated yet, have you, Brother Rick? Still learning, still growing. So the extreme examples. What's the right? What's the far right of being churched? Look at the Salem witch trials. Look at the people who were killed, murdered. Look at the things that happened during the Crusades in the name of Jesus. Look at the people that you know who have been hurt rather than helped. Well, what's the opposite of that? Folks, it's unfortunate but true that we're living in a time where people have so little desire for the truth that you see very little church discipline anymore. So where is the balance? I'll tell you something that I believe with all my heart, and I want you all as Christians and wise attenders of this church to help me pray about, is we want God to guide us. And we want God to guide us not so that we can worry about how Grandpa did it, not so that we can try to think that we got to do something to defend God's name. This word is a lion. It'll defend itself. But here's what we need to pray about. Where does God want us to stand so that we can bring somebody out? Bring somebody back. If you're praying with people in this altar, don't be surprised sometimes what people tell you. But be listening to the Spirit so you can tell them what He tells you. Because sometimes, if we're going to help people, you help them by telling them the truth. But what do you have to do? You got to love them. You got to love them. There's a saying that goes kind of along with parenting. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. I'm trying to teach them boys, and you know, I got one. He's pretty settled, and I think who he's going to be. I got another one. He's kind of in that, you know, development mode. I'll get on to him, and he'll come in there, and he'll hug up to me, and I say, "Son, you're too big to be on me." But that relationship's important. And when you got people here that you're trying to pray for or work with, you got to show them you love them. And then you got to tell them the truth and let the Holy Spirit of God do its work. Okay? So what's the purpose? The whole purpose is to restore and to lift up. That's what the word edification means. Amen? Let's pray. There's people that you and I are going to meet. There's people going to be here Sunday morning. And I'm excited about what God's doing right here. I'd love to have 200 people here. I'm tired tonight. I don't know if I can preach like I do on Sunday morning. But Sunday morning, there's going to be people in this church that are lost. There's going to be people in this church that have trouble in their heart and their life that they need God to change them and help them. And let's show them Jesus. Amen. Anybody have a word or anything you'd like to say before we dismiss tonight?